all kinds of revenue because you just can't cut taxes enough. And he's
that's a total joke, a total fallacy.
But they get away with it because they're treated like, you know, these right wing cut the taxes types are like, you know, the guy who's nine beers into his 12 pack and wants to tell you about the night that the aliens gave him his anal probe. You know, we don't take that guy seriously, but the stuff that these clowns are talking about with cutting taxes is on the same level as I got probed by the aliens, but because they dress in nice suits and we put them on TV, we act like they actually have something valid to offer to the discussion, when in fact they don't.
Now, the fact of the matter is, when you lower taxes, you incentivize people to speculate and to use money unwisely and to send it overseas or to try to make a fast buck. If you keep taxes high, they're going to reinvest it in the business. They're not going to take it as income. They're not going to take it in salary or in the bonuses. They're going to roll it back into the business and grow the country. And that's what higher taxes will do. Higher taxes will grow the economy, will increase the GDP because you're rolling it back into the business.
Well, God Almighty, Andy, with just the modest tax increases that came through under Bill Clinton, didn't the rich get vastly more rich? I mean, it actually served to benefit them.
Well, there's no doubt. Even during the Clinton era, from like 1992 to 2000, the top 1% gained 10% every year more in wealth, and the bottom 99% only gained like 2%. It was better than the 1% under Bush gains that they had, but the bottom 90% only gained 2% compared to 10%, you know, for the top 1%. So even during the Clinton era, yeah, it helped a little, even that, you know, higher taxes at the 39% bracket, top bracket, helped the lower classes, the bottom 99%. But it still wasn't a fun time. It's still the rich went crazy when Clinton was in there, too.
Yeah. Remember the Arkansas Project? Richard Mellon Scaife?
Right. Do Mr. Clinton in. Go after Whitewater, right?
Yeah. Stunning.
That's the fascist way. The fascist way is always attack the character, attack the person, and make them irrelevant as a voice. The same thing with Elliot Spitzer. You know, here's a guy that was doing Wall Street in. He was making life miserable for those bastards, and they had to kill his character. Kill him. Knock it out.
Take him out. Exactly. Right. Andy, good hearing from you, brother.
Please do. All right, take care of yourself. Have a nice Thanksgiving, and all the people in the Horn have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, and you too, Andy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. Andy calling from California, and Ron writing back. He says, did you say probe? I take anal probing very seriously, and so should we all, considering we're about to receive a monumental anal probing. Ain't that the truth? They call it the Cat Food Commission, but maybe, I don't know, maybe we should be playing the Close Encounters theme as well. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's Gareth out here in Bucks County.
Hey, Gareth. How are you?
Good. You know, I was just thinking, I didn't realize that today was the Kennedy anniversary until I got home. And I was thinking about it because these creepy, extreme, I think you call them right-wingers. I don't know what the name is anymore, but they've been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad has the most disturbing memory of the Kennedy assassination. I wasn't born yet, but he was in Philadelphia working at the Franklin Institute.
Mm-hmm.
His first job as a material scientist. And I never forgot this, and I always think about it every time the anniversary comes up. He said, you know, it was lunchtime, I think, out east when everyone heard. They're all at the lunch at the cafeteria. And they heard the news. You know, my dad just put his hands in his face, you know, or face in his hands. About 10 of these right-wing weirdos he worked with got up and clapped when they heard. That's my father. father's memory of the Kennedy assassination. Now, when I heard that, I said, these must be the same people who are now, their sons and daughters, who are members of this extreme wing of the Tea Party. You know what I'm saying? But these people have been around for
right.
a while.
Right, and I think, yeah, I think you're
they
pointing to something. You're pointing to something very valuable here, Gareth, and that is they pass this stuff along generationally.
That's it.
You know, when the Republicans got outvoted and Social Security was created, they huddled up and they said, someday we'll kill it. And they told their sons.
Yep.
And their sons told their sons, and their sons told their sons. And it has burned like a little core nugget of white hot inspiration inside the beating breast of the hard right wing that someday they'll kill all these social programs and they'll have that money where it belongs in their pockets.
And you're not even shocked that to hear that a bunch of people clapped when Kennedy was killed, are you?
No.
Okay. I was when he told me that.
Well, I mean, it's shocking to the conscience insofar as it's sickening, Gareth, but, you know, again, I'm a guy from the Deep South. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised there. I remember my neighbor's daddy whooping it up the day that they announced that Dr. King had been murdered.
They hang on to things. They hang on for a long time to their prejudices and their hate.
Well, it's not so much that they hang on to it. It's all they have, Gareth.
I mean, it's like Shelby Foote. No, you know who is Shelby Foote?
Yeah.
From the Civil War series?
Yeah.
It's a great, one of my favorite quotes from there was he was down south visiting Nathan Bedford Forrest's great-granddaughter or something, and she gave him the opportunity to wield his saber over his head, you know, which is a big thrill for him.
Sure.
And he goes, he says to the great-granddaughter, you know, I think there are two authentic geniuses during the war, you know, your great-granddad, Nathan Bedford, and Abraham Lincoln. And she puts her head down. Oh, don't include that Abraham in there, you know. This is 1960s.
Yeah. No, look, when I was starting out in elementary school, we're talking about 1969, 1970, mm-hmm. there were still teachers in my elementary school who referred to the War of Northern Aggression.
Yeah, still. Yeah. It was all about the control of northern banks on the South. I hear that one, too.
Didn't have nothing to do with slavery. It was all about economics.
Yeah, so these, it just doesn't, I mean, you know, Vicksburg, Mississippi did not celebrate July 4th until 1938.
Yeah.
You know, so this just doesn't seem to completely disappear. And when I heard that Kennedy story, I thought to myself, that's 47 years ago. That's not too long ago. And the resurrection is happening now with these guys. But Kennedy knew how to deflate those people pretty well. I think Obama could learn a thing or two from Kennedy.
But I don't know if he wants to deflate them.
I know, but here's the thing. Like, I'll never forget that great press conference where one of the reporters stood up and said, Mr. President, the Republican National Committee has recently adopted a resolution to have you basically qualified as pretty much a failure. And Kennedy just calmly turns to him and says, I'm sure it passed unanimously. You know, and everyone laughed. Yeah, he just knew how to disarm these people. That may have been
And part of that was because he knew who he was dealing with.
Right, and he knew that. I don't know what would have happened with him in Congress if he had lived, but because the Goldwater people were on the march. Don't you get that feeling that they were gonna the early Reaganites were coming up then?
Well, no, because the right-wing transformation only takes place after Goldwater gets stomped in 64.
Stomped badly.
And that is when they hunkered down and said never again, and they got serious about building their infrastructure. It began with direct mail and was followed up shortly thereafter. 1972 is when the Powell memo comes along, and right-wing moneyed interests are told, listen, you suckers, dig deep. Dig hard. Give till it hurts. We're going to set up an infrastructure that will completely control the messaging in this country. And the next thing you know, just like mushrooms after a spring rain, here comes the Cato Institute and the Heritage Foundation and the American Enterprise Institute and the Competitive Enterprise Institute and on and on and on and on.
The family. Don't forget the family, as they're called.
Well, sure.
They're the creepiest. But the Goldwater, I always thought the Goldwater thing, you know, I mean.
You know, Kennedy would have stomped Goldwater, too.
You think so? Even with, I mean, well, you know what? Would Kennedy have put out that Daisy ad? You know, that
no, but that thing only aired once.
Yeah, but I think it was damn effective, you know, based on what I've heard.
Well, the outcry of, you know, this isn't fair. You know, that's what the right wing always does when you catch them with their pants down.
Right, right.
It's not fair. And then they run more sleaze against us. But when we say it's not fair, they say, eat it and smile.
Right, right. I mean, I don't think I'm the first independent who's called you disappointed with their Obama vote, am I?
No, and you're certainly not, and God knows there's jillions of Democrats who are disappointed with their Obama vote, too.
Yeah, I can sense the, God, this is a strange sense in the last month listening to your show. I haven't heard too many independents, but there's a strange sense of Democrats coming out of the closet on this, you know?
Well, I mean...
It's a weird, it's kind of uncomfortable to listen to. All of a sudden they're saying, oh gosh, where's our president? I keep hearing that over and over now. And,
well, this is not the guy that we thought we were electing?
No. All the talk of hope and change, the hope and change speeches seem like a long, long time ago.
And a completely different guy, too.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really heard what you... I mean, I've been away for a little while. I haven't heard... What's your stance right now on Obama?
I'm pretty much disappointed.
Okay.
I would like for... As Bart Kopp says, I would like for him to come to work. but let me ask you, I mean, you're disappointed with your independent Obama vote, but by the same token, do you really, really, Garrett, do you think it would
have... Oh,
do you wish you had voted for McCain and Palin?
No, the Palin thing, look, I think the only time I would have voted Republican would have been the first time Reagan was in, but I was 14 at the time. That's probably the only time I think I may have voted Republican, but not since then. A couple times locally because of guys who were looking after the farms around here, but that's about it.
And see, I know what's going to happen in 2012. I'm going to vote for Obama again.
Based on what the alternatives are.
Right, based on the political hold-your-nose theory. And that's a crappy way to do politics.
But again, it's a serious... I wish the Kennedy thing was the bits of humor about just about everything. Like, I never... That would help Obama if he could... He's not as good off the cuff as I thought he might be.
No, he's... Well, he might be good off the cuff, but the thing is, he is so measured and so constrained and so roped in by his handlers... Because everything they do, Gareth, they do because they're wondering first, well, if he says this, what will the right wing say? If he says that, how many times will it be twisted on by Glenn Beck? I mean, think about the Shirley Sherrod affair. They preemptively canned a woman based upon a lie because they were afraid of what Glenn Beck would say.
I can't believe people care what that guy has to say with his puppets, you know. He's gone completely off the deep end, and people are even more...
But you're rational. You're intelligent, Gareth.
Yeah, I have a math degree, so I have to be logical. You know?
Right, but see, his viewers don't. And look at there, he's using the puppets. I like puppets.
He has a Soros puppet, right? Is that what he has?
Yeah, but John Stewart did a beautiful job eviscerating that.
He did the whole thing with the glasses. And the
yeah, it was gorgeous.
Yeah, but the thing about, back to the Kennedy thing, I just want to mention, he even dealt with the deficit at one of those Thai dinners, you know, they had those, I don't know, maybe newspapers or something. He was saying, okay, we have to pay off what our predecessors left behind. We can't do it in 100 days, maybe not in 1,000 days, maybe not even in the lifetime of this administration, not even, you know, in our lifetime on this planet, but it's time to get started. You know? And everyone laughed. He just dealt with it, again, in a humorous way. And I haven't really... Maybe it's maybe when we entered the trillion-dollar range, it wasn't as humorous anymore. Because back then, what was it, in the billions, maybe? The debt?
Yeah.
Kind of thing? That was just early Vietnam debt. And I've heard the last time we were balanced was Andrew Jackson. Is that true? Like Andrew Jackson?
I'm not entirely certain.
1830-something. And we've been...
But see, one of the things that the right wing promulgates very effectively... That is a total flippin' lie,